Friday, September 1st. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show presented by Toyota. It's a hell of a day to talk ball, and joining me to do just that is, well, a whole lot of folks here at Yahoo Fantasy. Today we have a very special episode of the pod that truly puts a bow on Cram Week and our draft season coverage as a whole. Chances are, if you're listening to the podcast right now, you are potentially days, maybe hours, perhaps mere minutes away from your most important draft of the year. Labor Day weekend is when the majority of drafts do in fact take place. We know this from our internal numbers here at Yahoo. 60% of leagues take place in the next few days. So for today's pod, we have everyone on the Yahoo Fantasy staff here to provide you with one last piece of advice you need to hear before heading into your drafts. Let's get right into it. And because I've said so often this draft season that everything you do starts with your plan at quarterback, we begin our journey on the podcast there as well. Here's what Dalton Del Don wants you to know about the virtues of waiting at the position in 2023 and also tight ends as well.
All right, I love Justin Fields and Kyle Pitts, but my advice is to wait and then wait some more on both quarterbacks and tight ends during your fantasy draft. Attack receivers, of course, and running backs, but I'm talking over like the first 8-9 rounds. Then you can double tap at tight end and double tap at quarterback. I mean, guys like Anthony Richardson, Daniel Jones, Tua, Dak, Geno Smith, they're all available then. There are countless late-round tight end flyers, so I'm just painfully waiting at the positions of quarterback and tight end.
I am so glad you have brought this one up, because I've said all year, Dalton, like, everything starts with how you treat quarterback. Tight end is a little bit different, but everything starts with how you treat quarterback. How you feel about your receiver room is going to, if you go with Jalen Hurts, which I'd said I like taking Jalen Hurts in the second round, Josh Allen, totally fine taking Josh Allen. The elite quarterbacks, I'm in on taking, but then you're sacrificing at wide receiver. You might be sacrificing at running back. So I love it. The late round quarterback is back this year, man. Daniel Jones, dude. If Daniel Jones isn't good, Dalton, we're in trouble.
No, I get it. There are some quarterbacks in those tiers that separate themselves with their rushing ability, but Daniel Jones actually quietly ran nearly as often as Josh Allen last year, got some major upgrades at the pass catcher position. They're coached well. Anthony Richardson is an athlete like we've never seen play the quarterback position. And then they're running a fast tempo during a training camp and then during the preseason games. Shane Steichen there has a history of having rookie quarterbacks who run succeed right away. So I just think there's top five upside, and there's also good floor because of his rushing ability. So I just think I get it. It's an old school mentality, but I think it works here. I mean, my guy Brock Purdy took over as starter last year, led the NFL in touchdown passes, and he's an afterthought. I mean, he's not even treated as a top 20 fantasy QB in draft boards, and the guy has the best system and the terrific weapons to throw to. So I just really think the quarterback position and tight end, every year we talk ourselves into this is the year, this breakout, and this guy is this setup and that one. But really, the real hype are these rookies that are immediately looking at to be the number two option in their offense, and a lot of them are available in the double digit to teen rounds.
Yeah, that was about the last thing I was going to ask you. Is I think quarterback, we all understand we can get guys late, but I remember you saying, like, I don't know about, you know, tight ends, we always talk ourselves into this, and a few months ago, but here we are. So who are some guys for people that are about to draft outside the top 90 picks or so that you really like as a potential tight end one this year?
Yeah, to be clear, don't confuse this to me saying the position's deep, because I know it will not finish that way. Most of these will be misses, but if you take two or three of them and hit on one without affecting your draft capital at a top 10 fantasy pick round, that's where you really succeed in fantasy. Luke Musgrave on the Packers, Jake Ferguson on the Cowboys, Hunter Henry, Irv Smith, Hayden Hurst, Michael Mayer. The list is really endless. I mean, there's other more obvious ones in Sam Laporta, Dalton Kincaid as well. So I really think there's a good dozen or so tight ends available after the top 12 rounds of your fantasy draft. Come away with two or three of them. Hope one hits.
Because we are a show that tries to offer different perspectives and let you, the listener, decide what's best for your individual fantasy journey, here's a different take on the quarterback position from Jorge Martin.
Mi amigo, you just don't want to actually, you do not want to wait on quarterback. You want to get it could be one of the elite three, Hurts, Allen, Mahomes, one of those three. They're going in the second or third round in Yahoo drafts. You could stretch it out. Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Justin Fields, Justin Herbert, maybe even Trevor Lawrence. I think I kind of cap it off at that point. You want one of those quarterbacks because they are just a big difference maker. The Elite Three, they're scoring almost 4 points more than Joe Burrow did last year. That's a touchdown a game. A touchdown advantage at any position is just fantastic. So, and the other thing is they're so consistent. Patrick Mahomes, he finished in the top six, 13 out of 16 weeks that he started last year. You had Josh Allen at 10, and then you had Jalen Hurts at 11 out of his 15 starts. These guys are point machines. They're consistent. I want one of these guys on there. I mean, if you want to talk about Herbert a little bit, he's one of only four NFL quarterbacks that are active who was throwing for 5,000 yards, and he threw for 38 touchdowns. That was 2 years ago, and now he added a weapon. And their offensive line is better. I love that. Joe Burrow, gosh, his weapons are great. I know there's some worry about his calf. I'm not worried. I talked to Dr. Edwin Porras, and he said he should be good to go at the start. And you talk about Fields. This is a 1,000-yard rusher. I loved it that you had him on with Austin Eckler, and Austin even made the joke that there's only 1,000-yard rusher between the two of us, and it's not me. So maybe he runs a little less, but you know what? He got DJ Moore, and that could be a big difference maker, like it was for Hurts getting AJ Brown or Allen getting Stephon Diggs. I love the elite quarterbacks. I know you're paying up a little bit for them, but you know what? I think it's worth it. Maybe you go a hero RB approach, maybe even a zero RB approach, and then kind of grab the quarterback and then grab your second running back later on.
This is so great because earlier in the show, we had Dalton saying to wait on quarterback. So this is good to get the two different approaches here because I, Jorge, find myself liking both, honestly. But for me, if I go with the elite quarterbacks, and my God, like I'm ready and willing to do it in the second, third round of drafts, where does it start like to become viable, right? Like for me, I know there's certain receivers and certain running backs that it's like, okay, you know, at this point I feel more comfortable with Jalen Hurts. So for you, when you get on the clock in like that second, third round range and, you know, Jalen Hurts is there and you're weighing him against like, what running backs and receivers are you like, okay, actually, you know what? It's time for elite quarterback. If you could just throw out a couple names.
Maybe like T. Higgins, okay. DK Metcalf, and on the running back side, kind of like Mixon, someone like that. I think those guys, I'm punting to the I'm actually pivoting to the quarterback. You know, one of the quarterbacks that I really think is at a great value is Herbert in the fifth round. I think I had a build over the weekend and I just hammered, I did a hero running back and hammered three receivers and then got Herbert in the fifth round. That was just such a beautiful build for me at that point.
Trickling down the rest of the draft board, take a listen to what Scott Pianowski had to say about the wide receiver position this year.
Obviously, every league is different with scoring and format. You need to know that backwards and forwards as you get into your draft. But if you need three starting receivers or more, I want you to pound that position. I want you to dominate the wide receiver position. I want you to bully it. I want you to go to bed with reception perception under your pillow because this position is not as deep as you think. And when you get into round seven, round eight, round nine, look, you can talk yourself in any receiver and all those guys can be boom or bust and everything. And you're going to have trouble deciding when, what weeks to play them. So what do? You draft receivers that start themselves. And every receiver is going to have, even the great receivers is going to have a few off weeks. But you don't want to play that guessing game with, is this the week wide receiver 45? Is wide receiver 28? No. You want the best receiver room or the second best receiver room in the league. You can ham and egg it at other positions. We know a lot of times running back, it's just a matter of getting volume, staying healthy, maybe an injury in front of you, stuff like that. You need to draft signature receivers in the leagues. Now, if you only start two, maybe you don't have to take this advice. I get it. But if you're going three or more deep at wide receiver, dominate that position. It's very important. It's not anywhere near as deep as you might think it is.
Well, as the lead lobbyist for big receiver, I totally agree with you and want everybody to know that I did not pay or bribe Scott to make this a receiver bit here. But this has been so true to me all offseason. It really started having these conversations with you, Scott, but also in our first staff mock draft recap, Andy Barron saying it gets late early at receiver. Like that phrase has haunted me all offseason, and it's so true in drafts. I have a sort of range where I think this is the case, but Give me a couple names that when you start to see those guys as the highest in the draft board at receiver, you're like, maybe you only have two or maybe you have three, but you know, you wanted a better four. Who are the names when they start to crop up that you're like, ooh, this is, it's officially in sketchy territory at receiver?
Sure. Once people like DeAndre Hopkins go, right? A back nine player on a run first team. I'm not even sure he'll be the most exciting weapon here in this passing game, right? I mean, Burks, if he can stay healthy, is interesting. You know, Chico Conquo did some stuff last year. I'm not drafting any of DeAndre Hopkins. I know you are a Marquise Brown guy, but that looks like the worst roster in Hopkins' previous team, the Arizona Cardinals. I don't want him. Man, I mean, Cortland Sutton, you want to talk yourself into him. Even some of those guys in Baltimore, I think Bateman needs to prove it to me. We may disagree on him. Gabe Davis, good luck calling the Gabe Davis weeks, man. he could have a 3-touchdown game, and then you activate him the next week. He gets 3 targets, one catch for 12 yards. Even players I like Nico Collins. He better be like a wide receiver 5 for me. I don't want Nico Collins starting in September for me. So what does this look like? That means that we all want Jefferson Chase, right? But I want you on that turn to say, yeah, Diggs and Wilson, great. Yeah, Sun God, great. Yeah, I got one of the Miami guys, great. Got Chris Olave. You know, the second-year receivers are always fun to draft. Got one of the Seattle guys. You have 3 to choose from, depending on how you feel about the JSN wrist injury. Get receivers you're excited about. You'll talk yourself into your bench guys. And, oh, this guy might need some time, or this guy might be the number 3 here. Maybe he becomes the number 2. We talked about Adam Thielen maybe being the target touchdown guy in Carolina for whatever that's worth. That's all fine for your bench. You can talk yourself into your bench guys. I want your starters to be players you're thrilled about. You would put, if you were marketing your team, you'd come to that meeting and say, yeah, look at these 3 receivers I got. They're better than everybody else's.
This is so true. And there are guys in each of these buckets. For me, I think it definitely starts because there are guys in that bucket of receiver 30 to receiver 37 that I like. You know, like I don't mind taking a shot on George Pickens. I don't. Sure. I really like John Dotson, who's still in that range. You know, Marquise Brown and Michael Pittman, they need quarterback breaks to hit. Like I can talk myself into those guys. But again, I really want that player to be like my 4th receiver. Like I want my receiver room to be so good that Michael Pittman is not my 2. Michael Pittman is my 3. Like if those breaks go right, it can happen for him. If those breaks go right for Marquise Brown, it can happen for him. I'm not trying to predict every week like, oh, yeah, let me ride the Gabe Davis train or the George Pickens train or the Jahan Dotson train. I want that to be like those guys when they go off as my 4th receiver, like I'm winning because my other guys are that good. You can't compete with me. And again, I like Rashad Bateman, Sky Moore. I like at receiver 44, you know, even we talked like, yeah, a couple episodes, we talked about Adam Thielen. Like these are the teams when I start to have to take these guys, 2 guys too early. I'm like, shoot, do I need an Adam Thielen just because like I know he's falling ass backwards into volume. So, yeah, man, I'm with you. This has been the piece of advice, like the tenet of the offseason. Do not mess around and wait too long in your receiver room.
And I'll just give you one more way to frame it. Remember, when running back upheaval happens, when there's an injury at running back, somebody gets promoted, you might go to the waiver wire and spend a lot of fab on a running back knowing you're automatically starting him. Everybody, America will automatically start that running back the next week. Those players so rarely show up at wide receiver. Even when you add one, you're adding them to your bench. You're not like, when Tyreek Hill gets hurt, if he gets hurt in Miami or Jalen Waddle, it's not like, okay, great, next man up is going to get 12 targets. Receiver doesn't work that way. That's not how the volume gets replaced. So at running back, even if you don't get a great running back room, opening day, you might have a great one in 3 or 4 weeks because that position is chaotic. There's so much variance. There's so much stuff that's going to happen. Receiver has a much different flow to it, and you really need to get the most of your receiver room has to be acquired on draft day.
Sticking with wideouts, here's what our very own Dan Titus had to say about balancing wide receivers and running backs this year in drafts.
Running backs continue to be one of the most volatile positions to draft in fantasy. So don't be afraid to spend that early round draft capital on an elite wide receiver. At this point, the fantasy running back landscape is just a bunch of landmines that I want no part of. So you might as well take some high upside and valuable running backs in the middle rounds that could still take you to fantasy gold.
If they're, you know, people are saying, okay, fine. I'm taking an elite receiver. I'll do it. You're not the first person, by the way, to say like hammer the receiver person position early.
Yeah.
And you are talking to the lead lobbyist of big receiver. So I'm certainly on the same page with you here. But for those of us that might want to pass on running backs early, like you said, there's some desirable names in those mid rounds. Hit me with like a few guys that you are proactively targeting in that range.
James Cook, definitely grabbing him, as well as Damian Pierce. I think he's a guy that I've really come around on from last season. And I was really scared off initially when Devin Singletary came into the running back room, but he handled a lot of the bulk of the workload with CJ Stroud in the preseason. And I think he's an RB1 bell cow potential here. So why spend up on someone like Josh Jacobs or, I mean, I'm not touching Jonathan Taylor for anything. Can't pay me enough money to draft Jonathan Taylor at this stage in the game. But there's some high valued running backs there late. And I also love one of my breakouts is Khalil Herbert. He's more of an RB2, but you know, with Justin Fields, I think that there could be a lot more explosive offense with the Chicago Bears this year. So you can have him super cheap in, you know, later rounds like round 9 and after that.
Khalil Herbert, these are all three like preseason risers, but still in consensus ADP, Khalil Herbert, 89th overall player off the board, running back 32. James Cook, still 66th overall, running back 24. That has been rising again, but I'm with you that if you need a running back like in the late running back 2 range, he's one of my favorite targets. And Damian Pierce, bro, I mean, I'm so glad you mentioned Damian Pierce, man. Running back 18 still in consensus rankings. I would take him over guys like Najee Harris. I would take him over guys like Aaron Jones, Breece Hall, Kenneth Walker, all these guys that go ahead of him, man. Love those names. Love whenever we can get Dan Titus in here to give us some great advice before we get on the clock. Appreciate you, buddy.
No doubt, Matt.
Of course, we would not be doing this podcast right if we didn't get some sage advice from the legend himself. Here's what Andy Behrens wants you to know before heading into your draft.
Yeah, I don't have a piece of advice that is specific to a particular player. But I will tell you that there are always like 3 or 4 people in any draft, even like hardcore players, who get super focused on bye weeks. And I just want to tell you that is exactly the wrong way to proceed. Like, I wish we didn't even publish it, like in the draft room. You should not be looking at bye weeks during your draft. You get this one shot during your fantasy season where you can, at no cost to you, you can just assemble as much talent as possible. And that is what you should be focused on. That's it, right? Like every other point in the year when you have a chance to add somebody, there's like a real cost to it. So you get this one chance to build up the talent base. That's what you need to be thinking about. You cannot make plans, especially long-term plans in the NFL, right? Like you can't make plans for November, October. That's absolute lunacy. It is a league ruled by chaos. It is a league ruled by injuries and suspensions and more injuries and then some trades and then more injuries, right? Like you're gonna trade away part of your roster. You're gonna drop a third of your roster. A third of your roster is gonna get hurt. Can't make long-term plans in this game. So it is absolutely stupid to pass on somebody who you think is the right player because their bye week doesn't align in November with somebody else's bye week. That is exactly the wrong way to play this game.
I don't know what show it's from or what movie it's from, or maybe it's from a lot of different things, but you know, there's always that scene where it's like people in medical school or something. It's like, look to your right, look to your left. Like 50% of these people won't be here by the end of the semester. You might as well do that with your fantasy team when you draft. Yep. Like, yep, you know what? Probably about 50% of you are not going to make it till, I mean, damn, week 7 or something like that. And it's great that you bring this up because it sounds so commonplace, but even in fantasy analysis, you're right that there's been the last couple of years, like, ooh, this bye week hell, you know, where the Vikings and the Chargers, like all the people list off all these great offenses that are going to be on bye. But it's like Andy's saying, if you're troubled by that bye week, you probably have a pretty good fantasy roster.
Right. This whole exercise that you're about to go through is just purely about gathering talent. And then you're going to be able to leverage that later on for all sorts of purposes. That's going to be the pool that you trade from, all of that. Like, you'll be able to address buys during the season if you're any kind of active, competent manager. Right now, it's just get the best dudes.
This whole month, you've been bombarded with data, with beat writer rumors and takes. Here's some simple but absolutely necessary advice from our very own Kate Majuk.
I'm going to go back to basics here with this one, Matt. And I think it's a necessary return to basics because in fantasy football draft season, we get so caught up in the analytics and wide receiver target share and potential market share on rushing yards, etc. Go back to basics. You need to draft a team that you actually like and want to watch play football. That is the key to making your fantasy football season magical and enjoying it and having fun. Like, we get so wrapped up in all of this kibosh and stats that we forget that this is a game, Matt.
So true. And this comes to pass not just in the draft where, you know, I get it. Some people will knock you if you're, oh, good, get your guy. No, you should pay attention to ADP and all this stuff. But you're right. You have to actually watch this, hopefully watch this team play. And two, got to root for them, right? Like, I want to be rooting for guys that I like, you know, whether it's personally or just like, hey, I'm a big fan of this receiver and the way he runs routes. Like, I want to be ahead of the curve on this one. And this always comes to pass too, Kate, when people try to give you trade offers, like, especially, oh my God, in Dynasty, don't even get me started. Like, oh, look at this trade calculator, right? Look at the trade. But yeah, but I don't give a damn what the trade calculator is. I like this guy. So this is great advice for people before they draft.
Yeah, don't overthink it. Keep it simple. And it, obviously, like ADP, it's a guide, right? It's a way for you to maybe gauge potential value. But always remember, every league's different. The way that you value a guy versus how your home league might value a guy versus how expert consensus might value a guy. Like, all of these are different barometers that are going to be calibrated totally, completely differently depending on who else is in your league along with you. And you have no control over that. But what you do have control over is just drafting a team. Like, for instance, as a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, I'm not going to be targeting a ton of, my AFC North rivals unless the draft price is right. I'm not going to be seeking them out unless I can feel really comfortable about the value I'm getting. Cough, cough, Joe Mixon. I'm not going to be seeking these guys out. I want to win, first and foremost, but I want to win in a way that I can sleep happy and know that I'm enjoying these players, like you said, either on or off the field. I can root for them in good faith, and I think that that's one of these keys to even remaining engaged with your fantasy team all year long. Like, you know, sometimes after that slow start, you'll see managers start to lose interest. When you're drafting players you actually like, though, it keeps you invested and keeps you in the mix for the long term. And I do think that that's going to lead to some fantasy success, even if it's not necessarily something that's quantifiable, which is, I think, what we get kind of overly hyped up on in this fantasy football draft period.
I love it. That is great advice for people right before they get on the clock. Well, on that note, just before we let you get out of here, Kate, who's one player that you don't give a damn what consensus says, you just really like, and you are trying to take in fantasy this year?
It's Deontay Johnson. And again, Pittsburgh Steelers fan, I'm a homer here. I'm wearing my TJ Watt t-shirt. I've got my terrible towel in the background. But I do want to say, for fantasy football, it's going to be really hard to find a guy that's just at the perennial mark for 140 plus targets. Consensus will tell you that George Pickens is the splash play guy who's a walking highlight reel. I like rooting for Deontay Johnson. I think he's one of the more refined route runners in the league. I have so much fun watching him play football. Now, like, does he make some mental errors? Has he had some history of drops? Sure. But I think he's a fun guy to root for. Like, and he's one of these guys that I think, A, is going to return a huge, huge barometer of value. But he's a guy that I really just genuinely like watching play football, even when he's not the recipient of a target. I love watching him run routes. I love watching him move. Like, he's just a fun guy that I want on my team. And of course, Austin Eckler, like, you gotta be, especially this is a Yahoo podcast. We got to shout out Austin Eckler here, who's one of the most fun guys to root for. Obviously the draft capital, a little bit more significant there, but like, those are the players that they find somebody that makes your heart pound the way that your heart should pound for Austin Eckler, and the way that my heart pounds for Deontay Johnson. Go get your guy within reason. Don't get crazy.
Well,
Well, you're preaching to the choir about Deontay Johnson as a route runner. He exactly exemplifies what I was talking about earlier about the trade value charts. I dislike the guy. So we're on the same page here. People do not need any more from me about Deontay Johnson, but they need plenty more reminders from Kate Majuk to draft the guys you like. Appreciate it, Kate. This was awesome.
Thanks.
So what's my last piece of advice for you before you head into your drafts? Stay tuned for that right after the break. The final piece of advice I need you to hear before you draft is to not be afraid of the unknown. And I mean this in two different ways. One, don't be afraid of the unknown players, teams, ecosystems, right? I always tell you how important it is to get ecosystems right, how important it is to draft players from those good offenses, those good ecosystems, the teams that are going to be among the best in the NFL, how crucial that is. But sometimes we don't know who those teams are. Take last year's Eagles, for example, right? Like if you nailed the fact that Jalen Hurts was going to take this thing to the next level, that AJ Brown was going to elevate Jalen Hurts and the entire Eagles passing game, you would have taken Hurts at a discount. You would have taken AJ Brown at a discount. You would have taken Devontae Smith at a massive discount that I myself didn't get. And I love Devontae Smith's game. I was too afraid of the unknown. That's a lesson that I need you to know. I need you to hear. So think about the Commanders this year. Think about Jahan Dotson. He's a little bit of an unknown, right? People don't know what his ceiling is. I'm leaning into that ceiling. I'm leaning into the unknown of Sam Howell. I'm leaning into the unknown of the Steelers. You know that for sure if you've listened to the podcast. Geno Smith was an unknown last year. Now we know that that ecosystem's fantastic. So don't be afraid of the unknown. And that goes to running backs as well. I know we haven't seen Alexander Mattison do it for a full season. We've only seen little glimpses. Don't be afraid of that unknown. Lean into it. That hidden upside, the hidden upside of ambiguous backfields, right? J.J. Zacharyson's talked about that a ton over the years. That's where you find those league winners. That's where you get that upside. And the second part of this advice, leaning into the unknown, is realize that every single fantasy draft, no matter how much you plan, no matter how much podcasts you have listened to, no matter how many drafts you've done, practice drafts, mock drafts, best ball drafts, it doesn't matter because everything, every draft is an unknown in its own entity. You can go into this thing thinking, I'm going to build a zero RB team and it's going to go like this. But then suddenly the value on the board is just different than what you expect. That every draft is an unknown. I want you to lean into that. Go into it with a plan. Of course, that's what we've been telling you all draft season, but don't be afraid of throwing that plan right out the window when the board presents itself in a different way to you. That's how I go into every single draft. That's how I want you to go into every single draft and absolutely dominate in 2023. That's going to do it for us today, folks. Good luck. If you're drafting this weekend, good luck. Don't hesitate to hit me up. Hit me up on Twitter at @MattHarmon_BYB. For those of you that aren't scheduled to draft this weekend, it's not too late. But there are only 6 days until the start of fantasy season, so make sure you get your league started or just join a public league at yahoofantasyfootball.com. Also, there has never been a better or more overwhelming time to be a sports fan. Kendall Baker has you covered with the Yahoo Sports AM, our new daily newsletter that we promise will quiet the noise and deliver everything you need as a sports fan to start your day in a simple, digestible format. Sign up today at yahoosports.com/signup. We are back after the Labor Day weekend on Tuesday, getting you ready for NFL kickoff weekend and week one. I mean, it is finally here. Andy Behrens joins me on the pod as we share some of our biggest and boldest predictions for the 2023 NFL season. Good luck in all your drafts. And until then, we're out.